KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
I suppose this is a... with me are, but...
Is fine with me.
Yeah.
Because then it's like you guys are individual, like, you know, individual people.
We are. And we are very individual people.
That's important. You're not robots or...
Nay.
Clones.
The good listeners know of.
Mm.
That's true. Maybe they are.
Well, we definitely don't have Australian accents, so we can't be clones.
That's true. It's very true.
Well, not that particular variety of clone, at the very least.
That's true.
That's true. It's very true.
A lot of truth happening right here.
That's true. Very true.
Stop it.
That is true. Very true. All right. If you happen to, you know, accidentally turn your dial and turn on to this crazy show and you're like, who are these random people? Well, like I introduced myself, Joe, and we had Caleb and we had Jason. We are Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on KSU Santa Clara. And we bring you entertainment news, tech news, geek news, all sorts of things that are fun and fascinating.
It's true. It's very true.
Yes, it's true. There's going to be a lot of truth on this show. I think that'll probably be the episode titled Truth.
Truth. Yep.
The truth is out there.
Anyways.
That sounded like the Addams Family. That was kind of funny.
That's almost.
True. Yeah.
Very true.
True. Very true. Okay, before that joke is, well, it's already dead. But what we like to do, this is your first time listening, or if you've listened before, we always like to start off the show with new releases.
Woohoo!
Being Friday, almost, the very eve of Friday, we had a little magical music there for the eve of Friday. I don't know if you heard it out there in Radio Land, but...
We heard it in our heads.
Yeah, so. And that's what's important, because that'll help us get through the new releases. Speaking of new releases, here are some coming to the theater. First, we have Maleficent, driven by revenge and fierce desire to protect the moors over which she presided. Maleficent cruelly places an irrevocable curse upon the human king's newborn infant, Aurora. If that sounds familiar, you've probably seen Snow White. Moving on, we have A Million Ways to Die in the West. It's from Seth MacFarlane, and so far the reviews have been horrid. After a cowardly sheep farmer backs out of a gunfight, his fickle girlfriend leaves him for another man. When a mysterious and beautiful woman rides into town, she helps him find his courage and such and things. Moving on from there, we have Filth. Detective Sergeant Bruce Robertson, a.k.a. Young Professor X, wants a promotion. He is clearly the best man for the job. The rest of his colleagues are just idiots. Annoyingly, there's been a murder, and Bruce's boss wants results. No problem for Bruce. He's in control, and when he solves the crime and wins the promotion, his wife will return to him. No problem, right? So I'm sensing by the question in that synopsis that
there might be a problem.
There might be a problem, and he doesn't have any control over anything, probably.
Perhaps.
Let's see. Moving on from there, we have the film Night Moves. As organic farmer Josh, played by young Lex Luthor. Or I should say young, soon to be Lex Luthor.
Yes.
High Not society dropout Dina, played by one of the Fannings, Dakota to be exact, and ex-Marine Harmon, played by Peter Sarsgaard, plan, carry out, and then witness the fallout of an attention-grabbing act of sabotage. They find their own personal limits tested. And then finally, we are the best. Three girls in 1980s Stockholm decide to form a punk band despite not having any instruments and being told by everyone that punk is dead.
So very dead. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Because you might find something in DVDs and Blu-rays? I don't know. But there's some new ones coming out that you might want to enjoy. Particularly, here's a few of them anyways. Journey to the West on Blu-ray and DVD.
Whoa, ooh, a million Western ways things. To die in the desk while you journey to the West.
Mm-hmm. Xuan Zhang is a demon hunter. And just to note, in Asian mythologies, a demon usually means a spirit or being of power, not necessarily a creature of evil. Defeats and brings under his wing a group of powerful creatures, including the elusive Sun Wukong, which is the Monkey King, if you're not familiar with his Chinese name. In order to purify their souls and protect the innocent, the group takes on a quest into the West, which is fraught with peril. It's also directed by Stephen Chow, who directed Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer.
Nice.
Yes. So, yes, expect it to be a little bit goofy and a lot of fun. Then there's Cheap Thrills on Blu-ray and DVD. A man finds himself near the end of his rope. He's been fired, and his family is about to be evicted. And there seems to be no way out until he stops in a bar to drown his sorrows and meets an obscenely rich couple who offer him cash as long as he goes along with their increasingly bizarre and risky dares. Then possibly Run and Jump on DVD. An Irish family is in turmoil as a stroke leaves the father mentally disabled and his personality changed. This puts the pressure on the wife to keep to care for and keep the family going. An American doctor's grant fund to document their life and how they recover helps keep things afloat. And the doctor himself serves as a calming influence on the family. And his presence also has a deeper effect on the family as it moves forward. Then there's Challenge of the Gobots, the series, Volume 1 on DVD. Wait, what? The Gobots have returned. Follow their mighty adventures as the Guardians as they protect the Earth and Gobotron from the Renegades.
Yes!
This is a disc-on-demand product, so it will look a little different than most commercially produced discs. And we're rounding it out with Patrick, Evil Awakens on Blu-ray and DVD. A young nurse becomes fascinated with Patrick, a comatose patient in the psych ward. Patrick is also the focus of a doctor whose methods are a bit radical, shall we say. The fascination takes a sinister turn as Patrick's growing psychic abilities begin to push her life into dark places. It's a remake of an Australian film by mostly the same name.
Interesting. Well, speaking of things that are not remakes, in video game land, number one, we have Watch Dogs.
Remake.
It is very much like Hackers. Down to, you know, everything. It's just, you see it and you're like, that is, I'm playing the movie Hackers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you play a hacker and you hack the city and do crazy stuff. It's on PC. It's on both PlayStation 3 and 4. And 360 and Xbox One.
Nice.
And we have The Wolf Among Us Episode 4 in Sheep's Clothing. Again, pretty much on just about everything except for the current gen systems, which are the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
If you want some Sly action, you've got the Sly Collection for the PS3 and Vita. Features three PlayStation 2 action-packed classic hits, Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus. Sly 2, Band of Thieves, and Sly 3, Honor Among Thieves.
It's a lot of thieving.
Mm-hmm. It is.
There's also a movie coming out next year, I think.
Yeah, either next year or the year after or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then, this is a big one, especially if you have a Wii U. Mario Kart 8.
Woot.
Mario Kart 8 introduces new racing circuit designs and anti-gravity karts that will have players driving upside down. Players will also enjoy a variety of series favorite features, including the return of 12-player online competitive play,
whoa,
hang gliders, underwater racing, and motorbikes. If you're not interested in kart racing, and maybe you're interested in scaring yourself, there's Slender the Arrival. Dropping on the 360, as previously on the PC, Slender the Arrival is the official continuation of Slender the Eight Pages, a combined effort from the writers behind the Marble Hornet series and the development team at Blue Isle Studios. Slender the Arrival features a brand new storyline and improved visuals. There you have it, a handful of the video games for this week.
Well, if video games are not quite your thing, perhaps you need to bolster your pull list at your comic shop, or if you missed New Comics Day, here's a few that you might want to pick up. Batman, number 31, Year Zero, Savage City. It's the second chapter of this story arc. While Batman is in the middle of unraveling the mysteries of the Riddler, he must also figure out how to work with his new ally, Lieutenant Jim Gordon. Across town at Marvel, it is Guardians of the Galaxy, number 15. The Guardians are in the crossers of the galaxy, but Star-Lord is missing. Captain Marvel steps into the hole in the team, but without Star-Lord, what does that mean for Earth? Over at Dark Horse, here on the West Coast, it's Tomb Raider number 4. Lara is being chased through the streets of London in her search for the truth. And no, this choice was not influenced by playing lots and lots of Tomb Raider Definitive Edition.
Right, yeah.
Not at all. Anyways, over at IDW, it's Samurai Jack number 8.
Do you know, is it set in that particular world or no?
I believe so, because okay. They mentioned the Endeavor and it also. So.
Oh, okay.
It's from that particular branch. Nice. Jack reflects, Samurai Jack number 8, he reflects on his journey to get home, and it may not end the way he thought it would.
Ooh.
This issue was drawn by Andy Sorino, who is the character designer from the show. Also here on the West Coast is Image Trees number 1. 10 years ago, the question of intelligent life in the universe was answered, but we don't rate on their scale, and now they're beginning to move us out. And then Archie Comics, it's Mega Man, number 37, a crossover that crosses centuries. The worlds of Mega Man and Mega Man X come together.
Ooh. All right, and to wrap up new releases, here's some music. Excuse me. We have number 1, A Letter Home, from Neil Young, originally released on vinyl for Third Man Records on Record Store Day. The 12-track lo-fi was recorded on a voiceograph and co-produced by Jack White. It's a covers album from the Canadian singer-songwriter. Features songs from such artists as Bob Dylan, who's that, the Everly Brothers, I don't know those guys, Bert Janzis, I really don't know who that is, yeah. Willie Nelson, Phil Osh, and Bruce Springsteen. Then we have probably Jason's personal favorite here. This is why I included it on here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Me, I am Mariah, the elusive Chanteuse from Mariah Carey.
Oh, okay.
The first original studio release in 5 years, Jason. Here you go, some new material for the R&B pop singer. Features guest appearances from Fabulous, Miguel, Nas, Whale, and her twins. I'm assuming those means her children. Then we have.
Come on now.
Yeah. Not who, but. Anyway, moving on. Ben Frost has Aurora, the fifth full-length studio release for the Iceland-based Australian producer, was influenced by his time in the Eastern Congo.
Well, that one's like a global thing.
Yeah. But it doesn't have Mariah Carey, so no. Jason's not interested.
Yeah, not a bit.
Then we have Hercules and Love Affair, new album, The Feast of the Broken Heart, co-produced by Hazi Factory and Mark Pistel. The third full-length studio release from the Andy Butler Electronic Collective features guest appearances from John Grant, Rouge Mary, and Christelle Warren. And then last, but perhaps not least, we have a new album from Wrangler called L.A. Spark. This is the debut electronic release for the collaboration from Cabaret Voltaire's Stephen Molinder, producer Ben Edwards, and Tung's Phil Winter. So there you have it. Nice little collection of lots and lots of new releases.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that maybe you'll be able to stream.
Possibly.
If you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, stream us whenever you want at www.ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
That's right. That was a very awkward segue, but we try our best here. All right. That's the new releases. We're going to take a music break and then, of course, come back with the news, Shall we tease the folks some news?
How about bike sharing in New York?
Bike sharing in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does your coffee machine have to do with tortillas?
Whoa.
What does your coffee machine have to do with tortillas?
You'll have to tune in to find out
right after the music.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm intrigued, and I'm sure you're intrigued out there as well. And being intrigued, you're like, I want to participate on the show. But how can I do that?
Well, if you want to participate on the show, you can. Live right now on the air. Well, mostly. If you go to Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/robotsattackshow. New URL.
Yes. Easier to find now.
Easier to find, easier to link to. and you can also find us on Twitter. We are twitter.com/robotsattackme. And finally, we are robotsattackshow@gmail.com if that is your preferred flavor. But if you just want one place to find it all, one place to get the links and everything else, go to robotsattack.me. Links to all our social media, email form, all that good stuff, and it even has archived episodes of the show. But please, let us know what you think when, as we go through the stories, as we discuss things. If you have opinions, lay them on us. It makes the show even better for you and for us.
That's right. We'll give you a shout out too. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to that music. I'm going to play a track from Ziggy Marley's new album, Fly Rasta, called I Don't Want to Live on Mars.
All right.
Hope it's good. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. All righty. You just heard Postcards from Warm Soda, the album Young Reckless Hearts. And before that was a very cool track from the new Ziggy Marley album, Fly Rasta. The track is I Don't Want to Live on Mars. Probably don't want to live on it now. Maybe later in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they, you know, when they do stuff
when
on
they
it
get
and
some
everything.
Plants up there. And
yeah.
Start terraforming it, or at least put colonies up there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We're back here on Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM at the Underground Sound. And we are now going to enter
News.
Okay, our first story for this fine evening is, what do coffee machines and tortillas have to do with each other?
Both are good with beans?
That makes some sense. Okay, story's over.
All right! No, wait a minute. That can't be right.
No, it's basically an idea, and that idea is that both are equally as good when you make them with a K-cup style machine. Now, you do have to have a special machine to do this. It's not, well, this comes hot on the heels of Campbell producing K-cup soups, which is an interesting idea.
Campbell's is making soups out of coffee makers. My head hurts.
I thought it was old news, but I'm glad I shared. But the this is a specially made tortilla making machine that uses the K-cup style of cups, and basically it ends up using either a wheat or a corn based cup to basically spread a tortilla onto a pan, and it cooks a single tortilla in about a minute. So you can have a single serving tortilla on demand when you want it. The unfortunate downside of it is that the K-cups, although this isn't the official branding for it, but the K-style cups, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
They don't last forever because it is like a normal food product instead of some sort of cooked and dried bean.
Right.
But they do last about 3 weeks and can be frozen nearly indefinitely.
Hmm.
So, welcome the tortilla maker as your newest home appliance.
Ooh. Wow.
If you like tortillas.
Put that right next to your quesadilla maker and you got a all set.
Ooh. That's a dangerous combo. Now they just need to make one machine that does both.
Oh, and snap.
Now, does it matter the type of tortilla?
It doesn't mention anything about the difference here, at least. So, It's going to be available early next year, so you can't run out and grab one as just we yet. Speak. But.
Oh, okay. Well, here's something that you can run out and do right now. San Jose Animal Advocates. You, an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Because, yeah, some people prefer the corn. Some people prefer the flower.
Right.
Some people like both.
Yeah,
so I'll be curious.
The only one pictured here is the flower, but
oh, okay.
I don't think it discriminates between them.
Some people like the rubber.
Pardon?
Rubber tortillas.
Rubber tortillas? I have not heard of such a thing.
I haven't tried one yet.
They're really chewy.
Okay.
I'll believe it.
Are they made for Chewbacca?
Oh. Ah, nice. Well played there. Well, to rescue...
Was it?
To rescue this, rescue us from these...
Chewbacca, right?
Yeah. from science fiction to science fact. How about that? The City Bike Program over in New York is in an interesting position. It is very successful, but its future is a little bit uncertain. Partly it's just because Superstorm Sandy Hurricane Sandy and a few other massive problems delayed its release to the public.
Okay.
And also made it introduced a lot of software challenges when they first launched. But as it is now, there have been, with its 1 year anniversary, over 100,000 New Yorkers have made annual contracts with the company to rent bikes whenever they need them. And they are they have over 6,000 bikes, 330 stations around the city, and they're looking to expand outward into all the boroughs of New York.
Like a virus.
sure.
A virus of goodness.
Mm-hmm. A virus of healthiness and better commute times for those who are stuck with subway delays.
I didn't say it was
delays.
A bad virus. Why you gotta make all viruses sound bad? That's profiling.
The city is still excited about it, and everyone that uses the program likes it a lot. The reason why its features a little bit uncertain because it's all privately funded. The city isn't involved. This is all in a private corporation. Citibank, hence the name Citibike, ended up committing most of the money for it getting launched. But Hurricane Sandy did quite a number on their infrastructure in the early days. So that
on their
was
bottom line.
Yes, on their bottom line. So that delayed things, and then there was software problems, but they are still doing well. It's just questionable whether they'll be able to ultimately survive. They're successful, but can they survive? And hopefully they will find some well-meaning investors that believe in this product as much as they do, because the New Yorkers themselves, the people that are using it, seem to really like the program, and they're also trying to push its tourism aspects as well for people that need to get around the city. They don't want to wait for a taxi. They don't know how to use the subway, but they know they need to get like 3 block or like 10 blocks over, but they want to do it fast. The bike's right there, so on and so forth. And also the day pass is kind of where they're hoping to recoup a lot of their cash as well, because it's a little bit... better profit margin there.
I'm not sure tourists on bicycles in New York is the safest idea in the world.
The interesting thing is that they have found that the cities that have regular bicycle usage and bike lanes are actually safer than those without. The streets are actually safer for everybody.
Does New York have bike lanes though?
I think some of the streets do.
Oh, okay.
It's probably like San Francisco. Like it's not bike lanes everywhere, but there are places where they are safer, and I think it seems like it's improving the status quo of the city, which is kind of awesome.
That's cool.
Well, here's hoping.
Yes. Well, maybe you're thinking using your legs is for suckers. My next story's got you covered.
Nice throwback.
The next phase of Google's self-driving cars are rolling out onto the streets. Google has begun building specially designed prototypes of its self-driving car. There's even a little YouTube video that's included with the story, which I'll post on Facebook as soon as I'm done giving you a little bit of the gist. Quote, they won't have a steering wheel, accelerator pad, or brake pedal because they don't need them, says Chris Urmson, director of Google's self-driving car project. Quote, our software and sensors do all the work. The prototype's vehicles were designed with safety as the primary concern. Sensors effectively remove blind spots, and they can detect objects to a distance of, quote, more than two football fields in all directions. The speed of these first cars has also been capped at 25 miles per hour, so you probably won't be seeing them on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning to build about 100 prototype vehicles, and later this summer, our safety drivers will start testing early versions of these vehicles that have manual controls. Urmson continues, if all goes well, we'd like to run a small pilot program here in California in the next couple of years. Besides the self-driving technology, these prototypes are very basic, containing two seats, a space for passengers' belongings, start and stop buttons, and a screen displaying the car's route. Google previously modified commercially available vehicles such as the Toyota Prius and its driverless car project last year. So yeah, it's getting closer and closer, and I'm excited all for it. And yeah, the you see a little picture of the prototype cars. I think they look kind of adorable myself, but yeah, there's like a 2-minute video or something of they got some people.
The video is actually pretty interesting because they run the gamut of people that this kind of technology is intended to assist, and it's like kind of rad.
Yeah, you get everywhere from senior citizens to like a mother and
son and a blind man.
And a blind man, yeah, who was actually, they had in one of their previous videos about the driverless car driving around when they had the mock-up with the Priuses and stuff like that. So it's getting closer, and I'm all for it. So hopefully, if I live long enough in my 90s or whatever, we'll have things like this so I can go places and stuff, and it'll be cool.
It's intriguing. To me, it looks like a koala with a black fez on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It does have that little koala face.
I don't know if they did that on purpose, but it definitely increases the cute factor. So anyway, that has nothing to do with this. This has to do with buying Coca-Cola if you're in Vietnam.
Oh, okay. You were saying, buying Coke.
Whoa.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad I said Coca-Cola now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Coca-Cola is trying something really interesting to me. They're offering packages to select customers who buy the standard size Coca-Cola bottles in Vietnam. They are handing out a package of, 16 different replacement caps for Coca-Cola bottles that allow you to use the Coca-Cola bottles in all sorts of crazy, crazy ways. For kids, there's a water gun attachment. There are bubble blower, paintbrushes, drums. For adults, you can turn it into spray bottles, soap dispensers.
Wow.
There's one that I thought I was trying to figure out what the heck it was because it's just like a handle in between two of them, and it's so you can turn them into like a makeshift thing of weight.
Ah, that's actually pretty clever.
And, of course, probably the most normal one out of all of them, turn them into condiment dispensers. So if you want your soy sauce, you can use them for that. It's all part of Coca-Cola's push to start something called, well, I don't know if they're the actual starters of this, but to push something called upcycling instead of recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So
reduce, reuse.
Right.
Yeah, emphasis more on the reuse.
Actually reuse.
Yeah.
Although the thing that's awkward to me is that a lot of these bottles still say on the side of them, do not reuse. But other than that,
I think it's
very cool idea.
I think specifically it's for reuse as a Coca-Cola bottle. I think you can
Well, if you can't reuse it for a Coca-Cola bottle when it came with Coca-Cola in it, why would you want to put soy sauce in it?
Because that's
why would you trust it?
Because it's not carbonated. It's not going to potentially be structurally weakened by its by okay. Oh yeah, you're just baiting me now. Never mind. Whatever.
Keep on digging.
Meanwhile, as I mentioned, one of the attachments is a squirt gun that it functions like a super soaker, so it pumps it full of air, pressurizing it so that you can spray it on people. So
yeah, it's pretty clever, and all the while, you know, it's still got the Coca-Cola like branding on it, so you're thinking
and all of the actual
soy sauce Coca-Cola, like,
right? Yeah, all the caps are actually the normal Coca-Cola red also, so it, even if the bottle gets repurposed and whatnot, there's still that color to remind you that this was a Coca-Cola product.
Because it is a very specific red. Let's see. Going from...
Ooh, can you segue from that?
Segueing from industry to that is assisting us and bouncing off of your robotic cars... I bring you more information about the self-driving car because it will need a driver's license. Starting in September, California will be dispensing driver's licenses for driverless cars. They're not inexpensive, but they are very particular. It's like they aren't just going to give them out willy-nilly. Like, you know, they are designated for it.
I'm just imagining like governors running around in the streets, like throwing licenses around by the piles.
Yeah,
take them,
Oprah style.
Oh, right.
Get a license.
There's one under your chair right now.
Driver's license. Everyone gets a driverless car license.
Right.
Yeah, that would be interesting
for us.
Yeah, it would. So, like, there is a several stipulations. Only designated employees and select autonomous vehicle manufacturers can apply for one. The car needs to be insured for $5 million against personal injury, death, and property damage.
That's a bit.
That's just a touch, yeah. A test driver has to be able to take immediate control of the car at all times. The test driver must also be a licensed driver for at least 3 years with no more than 1 point on their license. And no accidents that resulted in injuries. Anyone with a license that has been suspended in the past due to DUI is not eligible. Any accidents while operating the autonomous vehicle that result in damage or injury must be reported to the DMV within 10 days.
So obviously this is just for them starting all of this stuff, right?
Yes, this is for the launch. This is so that Google and the other car manufacturers can legally drive their cars in the state
been doing up until now?
Well, I mean, like, fully autonomous. Like it's not just the engineers. They can, like, say, like, you know, take a more normal person and say, we are temporarily making a part of this program to legally drive this car on the streets as part of this scenario. So.
Okay.
I think they've been, I mean, they obviously they've had like special licenses up until this point, but this is like kind of the first step at making it more consumer facing, for lack of a better phrase.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Late last week, they actually ended up passing a law that any driverless car has to have the passenger awake at all times during the functioning of the car.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that was at all coordinated with Google's new idea, since the cars that they're producing, the Koala cars, as I'm going to call them from now on, since they don't have any drivability to them. What's the point of being awake? Just so you can see your doom if it creeps up upon you. But anyway, an interesting fact about how California is demanding that you use these cars.
It's the first step, and the first step's always a little wobbly. So they're like, "Yeah, I'm not sure what we're doing with this. Yeah. This is all we're stepping out onto the bridge from. We're making a step from the lion's mouth. We don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah,
we think it's going to land on something, but here we go.
Yeah,
but it is nice that they're allowing them to take.
Mm-hmm.
Those steps.
That they're even bothering to take the first step, because sometimes legislation can get a little bit, you know, slow.
Yes. Well, speaking of things that aren't slow,
mm-hmm.
even though the character is blind, he's not slow.
Uh-huh.
Boardwalk Empire's Charlie Cox casts as Daredevil for Marvel/Netflix series.
Huh.
Marvel has found its man without fear. British actor Charlie Cox, whose credits include Stardust and Boardwalk Empire, has landed the title role in Marvel's Daredevil Netflix series. Latino Review, I don't know how these guys and gals get
I know. It's crazy.
Man,
they scooped Ant-Man news last week, too.
I know. They're just full of the scoops, that Latino Review. I think there was Greg Miller from IGN like did a thing or something. Was like, "Oh, Latino Review!" Like one up at noon, one of his the episodes one time. Anyway, Latino Review first reported they were hearing rumblings of Cox casting, which were then confirmed by Variety. Over the weekend, news broke that Daredevil's original showrunner, Drew Goddard, had stepped down from that role, though he is still writing the first two episodes and will serve as an executive producer/consultant. Stephen S. DeKnight, Goodfellow's fellow Buffy and Angel alum, who was the man behind Star's Spartacus, has taken over as showrunner. That's a good sign. That was a good show. Daredevil is the first of Netflix's 5 upcoming Marvel series, including Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and finally The Defenders, which will unite all of the characters.
I am kind of excited to see that character resurrected.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do as, you know, Netflix-style series. If you look at, you know, House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, you know, the ones that they've done, like how they're going to go about it, how they'll handle things with Marvel and.
Yeah. You
know. Yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. And speaking of interesting things here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound is.
Another news story.
Yeah.
if Star Wars getting another 3 movies wasn't enough for you, and the idea of it canceling out a bunch of previously made material wasn't angering you enough, you have another chance to be angered by another sci-fi staple.
No.
But it might be awesome, too. Roland Emmerich, the original director of the movie Stargate, is joining up with the original producers of the movie Stargate to resurrect the series.
Huh.
They're going to make a series of 3 movies based on the Stargate universe.
Sweet.
What ends up making this a little bit troublesome is that apparently they are planning on doing kind of like the Star Wars thing and having it possibly cancel out the television series as with the comics.
Okay.
So, so we'll see how that works out.
It could work out really well. It could also go really annoying.
Right. The other weak point is, well, weak point to me is that the original cast has not been confirmed for the movies yet, not even like the first one. So Kurt Russell and James Spader have not yet agreed to be in the films. And the other weak point is that this is the same crew who produced Independence Day and the last Godzilla movie. Not stellar creations compared to Stargate, in my view.
not necessarily the high points of cinematic quality.
Did they do 10,000 BC?
I think they did.
They also did what?
Which
Day After
I
Tomorrow.
Enjoyed, but I realize I'm in the minority on that one.
Well, you can enjoy it, but you can still accept the fact that it wasn't a very.
I still like the bird guys. I don't care.
The bird guys were kind of cool. I'll grant you that.
It's all about the bird guys.
All right, so resurrecting sci-fi series robotic muscles and cybernetics. How about that, sort of?
Yes.
A group has made Rise Robotics has made a new type of the technical term is a linear actuator, but what it is a
defibrillator.
It's
humidifier
designed to operate like the human muscle does, and it's a way to move mechanically move something in a that has a strength curve not unlike human or a movement curve like a human.
Okay.
Their goal is this group's ultimate goal is to try and make robotics more human like because when you do, it's easier to make it more useful to humans in a way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like the bipedal robot, firefighting robot for the Navy. It's better for what it does because it's a bipedal robot. The whole place is designed for humans. Make it human sized, human like. Therefore, it's better. And this is another step along that same kind of philosophy where it's like if we make it respond like people, we can now design it accordingly, design the structure accordingly, and it will know how it respond because it will respond like we do. So we can, it's kind of ideas kind of like synergize the idea of robotics and human design.
Synergy.
What makes this kind of unique is like as it is now, like the way you make motion is either with like a stepper motor or pneumatics, which is highly compressed air. It's how most robot effects are done in Hollywood is like with pneumatics or the fighting robots. A lot of those are pneumatically driven. The
punching robots, are they pneumatic?
No, those are mechanical. Those are more in line with the.
But they fight too.
So yeah, those are more in line with the stepper motor, which is a electric motor, which is designed to be controlled to. The whole intention is to be to very controlled motion, stopping, starting, and range of motion. This is sort of like blending a lot of these other things together, and has a unique drive system, which is a conical drive, which has.
That gives it the power curve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
pretty neat.
Yeah, and the other thing that's kind of neat about it is that their purpose is to also make it as approachable as possible for everybody, so all the parts can be effectively be made with a 3D printer off the shelf, or just like, you know, so it's like. It's designed to be really, really simple to work with. So nothing like super exotic. The tolerances are broad. In engineering, when you have tight tolerances, that means if it deviates too much, the engineering falls apart. This one has sloppy, for lack of a better phrase, tolerances, so that it has room for human error and also just for the manufacturing doesn't need to be like super exacting like Apple likes to make things. Like the iPhone is super exactingly engineered together, whereas like when so like if it gets a little bit wonky, the whole thing begins to warp or look weird or whatever. This won't respond to that kind of stuff better. So it's just it's really interesting. Future robotics coming to you, sir.
And of course, if you want to check out that story as well as all of our other stories, we've got them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/robotsattackshow. We tweet them out too.
Mm-hmm. Robots attack me.
That's right. All right. I'm going to do our last story, unless anyone else has something they desperately want to do.
Go for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I've done a few stories about Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I did was a pretty big one for a lot of people about Edgar Wright. Leaving, no longer directing Ant-Man.
What?
Well, there's an article on IGN, Why Edgar Wright Left Ant-Man.
Oh.
So, the Cornetto Trilogy filmmaker Edward Wright left Marvel's Ant-Man last week because of vague creative differences, but the details of the breakup are finally becoming a bit clearer.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to Latino Review.
Exactly. Latino Review again. Man, yeah. those guys and gals.
I'm not even kidding.
Nope. Claims a split between Wright and Marvel occurred because of screenplay issues. The Disney-owned studio issuing a handful of notes for Wright and co-writer Joe Cornish, Attack the Block, to address, such as the, quote, core morality of the piece, and including franchise characters. Wright and Cornish purportedly did two new drafts of the Ant-Man script that they felt answered Marvel's questions without compromising their vision, but that apparently wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. Marvel reportedly took the script and put it in the laps of two low-credit writers, one who is part of Marvel's in-house team, and once that version found its way into Wright's lap, he walked. According to Latino Review's source, the new screenplay was, quote, poor, homogenized, and not Edgar's vision. The Hollywood Reporter also says that the script rewrites were the undoing of the Wright and Marvel, originally claiming it was Marvel President Kevin Feige who ordered the new drafts of the Ant-Man script. While Feige fully backed Wright when the director joined the Ant-Man project in 2006, man, a while ago, Marvel Studios has drastically changed since then, becoming bought by Disney and expecting huge box office totals on each film today. Kevin and his top lieutenants run Marvel with a singularity of vision, but when you take a true auteur and throw him into the mix, this is what you get, quotes a source told the Hollywood Reporter. They don't want you to speak up too much or have too much vision. People who have never worked there don't understand how they operate, but if you trust them, they have an amazing track record. Wright isn't the first director to have creative differences with a big Marvel project. Patty Jenkins left Thor 2 just months after being announced as the director. Kenneth Branagh opted not to return for Thor 2 beforehand, and recently Drew Goddard exited as showrunner of Marvel's upcoming Netflix Daredevil series, which I mentioned earlier in the show, although his script is still being used and he is making the Sinister Six for Sony. Wright has stayed mum on his exit since the official announcement and his departure, though reports have surfaced that he posted and then deleted a selfie of Buster Keaton with a Cornetto ice cream cone. Keaton, for those unaware, took a job with a big studio MGM and later called it the worst decision of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So with Wright off Ant-Man, there is talks of him joining the movie reboot of the beloved cult TV series Kolchak, The Night Stalker, starring Johnny Depp.
Huh. So that would be quite the thing.
Yeah, I can kind of... Since one of my favorite movies of his is actually the Scott Pilgrim movie.
That was a really good movie.
It's really fun, and there's a lot of cool stuff that happens, but arguably, Scott Pilgrim is not a good guy, like, at all, for the first, like, half of the movie.
Nope.
So I can completely understand if he's going in that vein for an Ant-Man series, and Marvel is now a, like... Disney entity. Mm-hmm. I can understand how that would be something that they're not as interested in any anymore. So
yeah, which is a little bit unfortunate though, because that's kind of the Ant-Man storyline. He's not a really likable guy,
right?
Not in any version is he very likable. Like he's identifiable because he's very human, but you're not. It's not always the parts of humanity that we want to admit we're a part of.
Right.
Well said. All right. That is the news. As I mentioned earlier, if you missed any of our stories, you can go to our Facebook page and our Twitter. Check them all out. Leave comments. Let us know. Are you excited about being able to create tortillas, coffee maker?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
I know I am.
That's pretty cool.
Well, it's kind of neat.
Yeah. If you want to check out the koala car, as Jason has deemed it. Definitely check out those places. All right, let's hit the music. I'm going to play the artist Sydney York, the track Electro Love from the album Hearts, here on Robots Attack, KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Now at the Cantor Arts Center at Stanford University, breathtaking conservation photography of Yosemite, the Columbia River, Oregon, and other parts of the Pacific Northern Pacific Coast. The exhibition is titled Carlton Watkins, the Stanford Albums, and is open through August 17th. The center is open Wednesday through Sunday from 11 to 5 and until 8 on Thursday evenings. Admission is free. More information is available at museum.stanford.edu.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU St. Clair 103.3 FM, the underground sound. You just heard the local band Puppet Radio, the track Be the Change from the album 789. And before that was Sydney York with Electro Love from the album Hearts. We are now in Geek Talk. This is where we just kick back, just relax and talk about things that we like and
enjoyed just, in the last week, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not necessarily news, just stuff from us.
Yeah, things that we found that we think are interesting. And I found actually one of our listeners linked me to an article which I thought was kind of neat about a mansion out in Florida, which is going for...
Florida has mansions?
Florida has
that is interesting.
Mansions.
No. It's a lie.
But more
with
than...
all that water?
More than that, they have a... Someone has made this mansion with rooms that...
Rooms?
Rooms that closely emulate sections of the Enterprise from the Next Generation.
How do they fit that onto a broom, though?
You don't.
It's like the magic room from Fantasia.
Oh, like, okay.
Sweeps mm-hmm. and cleans things. It's like that.
Okay.
Something like that, yes. Sorcerer's Apprentice reanimating the brooms. No. In this case, the media room has been restructured to look like the command deck, the bridge from the Enterprise, and they also have
that makes sense.
Memorabilia scattered around the rest of the house, including the original ears that Nimoy wore as Spock. They have
that's scary
replica.
I wouldn't want those
replica, or maybe original. It doesn't say, but there's
we lopped these off of Spock just to show them to you.
Starfleet uniforms from every episode of the show that ever aired.
Oh wow!
It is a
those can't smell good.
It is a. I don't think it's all of them, just one from them. There are 27,000 square feet house.
It smells like Riker from episode 285, where he jumped over that chair said,
"I can smell
stuff.
That chair straddle." Stop it.
On the other side, more conventional decoration, it also has a 1,500. Bottle wine cellar, a full-size basketball court, and an arcade filled with classic science fiction video games.
Wait, a basketball court?
Yes.
Not a room to play.
One of these things, not like the other. Is
well,
it?
Think of it like a holodeck recreation.
Oh, is it?
No, it's...
Oh.
It, but, like, it's a room that doesn't function like the rest of it, so it's like the holodeck.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd totally paint my basketball court to look like the holodeck.
The holodeck.
That's just the way I roll.
So black with yellow grid lines all over the place?
Right.
To play basketball in.
Yeah.
All
right. Totally doing that. I'm getting right on it. My mm-hmm. apartment manager might not be happy about it.
What the?
I said
no,
accent.
No. Let me explain. There's right. this person in Florida. They have a mansion. They converted one of their rooms. They've got a uniform used in every single episode. Do you think it has the spell?
Oh, right.
I asked the same
Rikers?
Thing. Yeah, was it Rikers? That's impressive.
It's something. I thought it was just kind of like, whoa, that is dedication at the very least.
That is pretty neat. If I had the means, I would at least think about doing that
mm-hmm.
for a moment and then make that basketball court.
Instead.
Right.
That's
when I said you could paint, it was an accent wall. What is this, drunk?
Yeah. But yeah, so I assume we have a link to check out the different things that people can,
mm-hmm.
Where can they go to see?
They can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/robotsattackshow.
Nice.
And then robotsattackme on Twitter.
Nice. So I believe it was last Geek Talk, I mentioned that I played a little bit of the new Wolfenstein, the new Order.
Oh, right.
So
Wolfenstein.
Here's an update. Played some more. And like
even more orders.
Even more new order.
More?
But not the band New Order. But
right, that could get confusing.
It can. Alternate timelines and things like that.
Right.
Although,
if you make a different decision at the beginning of listening to the album.
Although, they do have records you can find, and it's quite cool. They've taken, like, they took House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
And it's all in German, like a German like
what?
Polka kind of accordion band doing it.
That's sort of awesome.
They, in one of the trailers for it, that they play the song over it.
Right.
And then there's also another song where if you read the description, like it shows the picture and it's like the Abbey Road from the Beatles cover, you know, them walking on the street.
Right.
And if you read the description, it's like, it's the Beatles and they were asked like, you guys can stay a band if you conform to this or you can stop. Because if you're not familiar with Wolfenstein, the New Order, the Allies failed stopping the Nazis, who basically then won World War II, thus basically taking over the entire world, and Germany controls and
completely mishandling all of the world's technology.
Yeah, in a sense, there's stuff I don't want to give things away, but
spoiler alert.
But yeah, there's some wacky technology which is explained how it comes to be, and it's pretty cool in my view. But yeah, it's like this game, I think, like I mentioned before, kind of came out of nowhere, and the shooting is very sort of old, kind of old style. And it, I will say, and I don't think I'm alone, it is kind of annoying that you have to push X to pick up everything, like instead of just walking over it and picking it up. Like, yes, I want that ammo. If I don't need it, it'll just say maxed out. Like, just, can I just automatically grab it? So I don't know if maybe there were some technical things, because I believe it's also on the previous generation stuff. So maybe they had, I don't know, or they just really wanted to be old school.
Yeah.
That hopefully if they, let's not do that again. Anyway, the things that were very surprising and that I'm really, really, really loving are the voice acting, the supporting characters. Blazkowicz himself is done really well. Like it. All the things that I was expecting to be like, okay, I'll just kind of skip through this stuff just to get to the fighting and the shooting parts, I'm actually really, really liking. And it handles themes that I never would have thought it would handle so well, like dealing with America's racism. Not just Nazis' racism, but America's racism with one of the characters. And it's like, it's really awesome, especially this character who they hint, I'm not going to give it away, but you'll have a pretty good idea who it is, and it's pretty cool. And then they also handle sex in a really positive way. It's not like used in like a negative light, or it's actually used like sort of in like a loving way. Like even like Mass Effect did a pretty solid job with it, but there were times where it even just kind of felt like you could just go, hey, I want to say blah, 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 pick blah, 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 just to kind of sleep with this person.
Right.
This game, it doesn't happen all the time, but the instances that it does happen, it's like, it makes sense and it's treated really well. Like, it's just so weird. It was things I was not expecting from this game. They're just nailing them, and the voice acting is really good. Like, I'm really shocked by how much I'm really liking this game. Like, yeah, it's surprising. And it takes a little bit to get used to the combat style, because it's like, for me, I'm so used to playing Call of Duty and kind of modern shooters, quote unquote.
Right.
So to kind of go back to this, it takes a little bit, but once you get the flow going again, it's like, you know, it falls back in pretty easy, and they have some neat weapons, and you can pretty much dual wield everything, which is ridiculous, but hey,
it's the action movie aspect of the game.
Yeah. So
very cool.
So yeah, I'm not done with it. I think I'm getting pretty close to the end, but yeah, so far, thumbs up. you know, recommend
Sweet.
Checking out any way you can.
Very cool.
Oh.
Awesome. One of the other things that I found was kind of like, you know, with X-Men Days of Futures Past coming out, which I haven't seen yet, but I hear it's very good. But just that kind of got me on this kick, and I saw on one of the news sites there had a link to this guy who has made several kind of DIY special effects, and it's the one that I found that thought was just completely awesome was his mod to make him like Pyro from X2, and it's actually really, really,
so
really cool.
It with the world and starting a Kickstarter campaign.
No, because this is wildly dangerous.
Is this the same guy who made the Wolverine Claws backpack?
Yes.
Okay, I saw that. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, same guy.
Okay.
This is another effect. The Wolverine Claws was also really cool, but the flamethrowers are just so visually like, yes.
I gotta see that. Yeah.
It's really cool. You guys have got to check this out. Like he's
looks
able
like about a 6-foot flame on that thing.
He's claiming 12. On the in the
or
the,
has it the dialed down on that picture maybe so
yeah
it's more photogenic and I don't know
it's pretty wiki cool.
Yeah, it'll be worth hitting up the link on that to see, because yeah, I just saw like a little gif or gif, however you want to pronounce it, of the Wolverine one, you know, him doing it. I think it was might have been a Vine or something someone made, but it showed him popping them out, slicing things and stuff, so
but julienned watermelon.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Are you interested in free radio time?
Am I?
Maybe.
KSU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic@ksu.org with information on services and upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
Nice.
The end.
It's important. I mean, give us some good PSAs to read to you folks to give you good information in between the other information that we bombard you with.
Yes. Right.
And the music that the other radio shows on this station, you know, provide.
Kindly provide you with.
Yeah. So I would feel remiss if we didn't. We all went and saw Godzilla.
Yes.
We should, you know, briefly, yeah. Before we take another music break and get into our core topic, we should talk a little bit about Godzilla. I mean,
yes,
three
yes,
of us all saw it and whatnot. So, your thoughts, gentlemen?
It's the fattest Godzilla I've ever seen.
Oh,
so fat.
So fat.
Look at
right
his
now.
Butt.
It's just so round and out there. It's like one of the like giant monster girlfriends. Oh goodness, no!
I'm picturing what's her name from Adventure Time saying that.
Olympia Space Princess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Godzilla. It's just like so fat. What the lump?
I have good lumps. So yes,
he's also quite lumpy.
I think it was a lot of fun. It is a monster movie. So yes,
right.
There are plot holes the size of Godzilla in it.
Because there kind of have to be.
That aside, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
It's yeah. One of the best crafted monster movies that I think I've ever seen. I haven't seen hardly any of, or at least the complete movie of any of the original Godzillas, so I don't know if any of them were actual masterpieces or not.
No. Well, the first one, Gojira, is a masterpiece.
Okay.
But it's a very different style of story.
But yeah, I did. I appreciated that they came up with a certain type of logic for how the creatures functioned and why they were doing the things that they were doing. I thought that was pretty cool. That's also where it ends up creating some plot holes in my view, but it still has a reasonably believable reasoning behind Godzilla actually wanting to throw down with these things and so on.
Especially once you get past the if you can get your mind past the point that there are giant monsters
yeah.
in the modern age, then you're set.
Right.
The rest of it will sort of fall into place, and you'll probably enjoy yourself.
Well, yeah, and the movie does a good job of that also. It doesn't jump directly into, like, oh, there's monsters type of thing. It eases you into it, and the reveal of all of the different things are very much from the viewpoint of people that have not seen these things before, and so it is a big deal for them. So you feel that a little bit more. And that's where it ends up getting kind of interesting too, because there are characters that are a little bit more familiar with the stuff, and so the back and forth between those characters is pretty interesting also.
Yeah. It's definitely fun. I mean, I think we've come to the point where we want Godzilla to be like a good guy,
right?
In a sense,
a hero.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I know one podcast listener, someone sort of mentioned, like, he kind of prefers it when Godzilla is like our bully, but like he'll beat up the other bullies.
He's
still like not like a good guy, but
yeah,
you know, he is going to beat up the other ones that are going after us, but he'll then, you know, but yeah, I think we've sort of come to the point where it's like, yeah, it's like, it's hard not to love Godzilla. So, you know, putting everything else aside in the movie, you
plus
know,
he's so jolly now.
They do, you know, so yeah, it's definitely fun. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, there's stuff, it's like, okay, really? Like, you just put that aside, and
that
just,
plot device showed up right there. This is your scripting idea? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but, yeah.
The big thing for me that was, and this is just me from like a hobbyist standpoint, I suppose, but like, if you know anything about how military stuff works and how they run and so on, it ends up feeling really disjointed in places here and there, and especially if you know what sort of power plant a lot of different types of ships have, it ends up creating some plot holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of flaws, but The movie it contains itself pretty nicely in itself, which is kind of nice.
If you're interested in seeing giant robot, or not robots, but giant monsters fighting giant monsters, at the very least, you're going to enjoy that part of the movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
if you're seeing it strictly for Cranston, you might be disappointed, but he is pretty good in it. So
Although he does have the surprise of turning into Godzilla's uncle.
Yeah.
But, no, I gave it up.
Oh, man.
The uncle teacher role of father-son dramas from the growing pains to our days that families tie together. So
Godzilla was created by a well-meaning mathematician cooking math.
It's true. How they tied in that Breaking Bad whole thing is...
It was crazy, it's but
incredible.
It's done well.
Yeah, you never would have expected, right. Especially when Jesse pops up. You know,
right,
where he pops up, you're like, whoa, I wasn't
but when you see
that.
When you see some blue flames coming,
you know
it's coming from that blue meth. So
yeah, <it's laughs>
good thing
true.
They had that RV, it's though. That saved their lives a few times.
It did, and Godzilla's. Mm-hmm. Especially when he rode on it like Teen Wolf did.
Like a single skate.
Yeah. It was
with one another plot hole, since I don't think that you'd build them quite that sturdy, but
yeah and it's gonna be interesting how they do the sequel, because I mean, what do you do? Like,
I think it makes perfect sense.
Well,
I can make the sequel right now but I can't do it on the air without ruining a bunch of things, so
there you go.
Yeah,
I guess you'll have to subscribe to Jason's...
JasonSpoilers.com.
You'll have to...
I probably shouldn't say that. That's probably some horrible site someplace that...
Yeah.
Do not go to the place that I have already forgotten what I said.
You'll just have to...
You can't rewind.
You'll just have to follow him on Twitter, and that's where he'll talk about his Godzilla 2.
Or as we like calling it here, Tweetar.
Tweetar.
Oh no, the Tweetar! Ah!
Tweetara. That's my new social networking site.
So there you go. If you had
also probably don't go there.
Yeah. If you had any vague interest in seeing Godzilla, it is definitely one of those ones where you should go see it in the theater. So, unfortunately, if you don't like spending a lot of money, try to hit a matinee or something. But
and you probably don't like movies, period.
But, well, true, but...
Yeah, I mean,
this one's
definitely not like a must see, but it's very good in theaters.
Yeah,
so.
it's giant monsters fighting each other. It's
they're good on the big screen.
Good on the big screen. I mean, yeah. So okay. I think we all have at least one word that we've all can tie to it. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty cool.
It's a good summer movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right. The thrilling endorsement there. We'll take a quick...
It was wildly sufficient.
There we go. See, I like that better. And that ties into our quick little music break before we hit into the core. I'm going to play a track from Fantogram called Bill Murray Burning Star from the album Voices. Shall we tease the folks our core topic, Jason?
Yeah, it's actually kind of an extension of one of our previous core topics. We had talked about Amazon taking over the world. Amazon, the company, not the rainforest. But, or the princess, or... Anyway, the company, because it has so many things that it's venturing into. So, they ended up announcing that they... Well, it ended up leaking that they are going to... actually be adding to their Prime service a music service. We were just going to conversate about that and what it means for Beats by Dre.
And branch off from there. All right, let's get to that music here on Robots Attack on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You are now entering the core.
The National Domestic Violence Hotline provides 24-hour support to those affected by domestic violence. The hotline offers advocacy, safety planning, resources, and hope. Hotline number is 800-799-7233. More information is available at thehotline.org. All right, welcome back to Robots Attack. We are in the core here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. And Jason has a topic he would like to discuss with all of us, including you out there.
Yeah.
Yes, you.
It's an interesting topic for me just because I've watched services like this pop up, fade away, come back, try and get resurrected under the name of some fancy mechanical thing to go along with it, and then promptly get destroyed again, renamed, over and over and over again. But what it basically comes down to is just... a service that allows you to listen to unlimited amounts of music. And right now, kind of the big contenders are Spotify and Beats. But Amazon is looking to break into that same thing with a Prime offering from their company, which would end up bundling it with their other Prime services, which right now is... of course, the free, quote-unquote, shipping, 2-day shipping on everything, or everything that is Prime labeled in the store, which is a sizable number of things.
Yeah.
And their video service, which they end up calling, of course, Amazon Video Prime, so kind of fits with that. So, effectively, the name of the new service is probably going to be Amazon Music Prime. But there's no confirmation on that yet. Unfortunately, it's already been released that there are going to be some major limitations on it, which are going to keep it from fully like fighting it out with Spotify and Beats. The biggest one is that right now its catalog is only going to be stuff 6 months old and older. I think it ends up making it much easier to grab things, not getting in that realm of new released stuff. But if you want the absolute freshest music, unfortunately you still have to go elsewhere and you can't have it part of this bundled service. But yeah, it just it adds another thing to the giant lump of different businesses that Amazon is getting into. And while it may not be like the premium contender in any one of them, it's just another one of those things where it's going to do fairly well. So it ends up being strengthened just by its mass once again. Yeah. So I just thought it was kind of interesting, especially with this new model or this model of stuff becoming really popular all of a sudden. The Spotify app and website was becoming a really big deal, but ended up getting beaten almost immediately when the Beats...
Beaten by Beats.
Right. Yeah. It was almost immediately beaten by Beats. So, yeah, it ended up being a really big fight out there.
Which, speaking on Beats, just... The news with that is Apple was
right, exactly.
Stepped in.
Apple ended up acquiring Beats for an outrageous sum of money, like beyond your wildest dreams. I'm not even going to say it. It hurts my head so much. And it made Dre, I'm sure, a very, very wealthy man.
Yes. Already.
Not that he was. Right. Yeah.
And more, even wealthier man.
Right, yeah. Is he richer than Oprah now?
I don't think his net worth is higher than hers, but
it's got to be close.
Yeah. I think he's catching up pretty quick because, like, with this most recent acquisition, I'm sure he's like in contention.
You get a Beats. You get a Beats. Everybody gets Beats.
Right. Everybody has a Beats under their seats.
I can't hear any of the highs. What? The bass is too loud.
Right. In no time, we'll have a special Dre drink at Starbucks. Or do you suppose it was Pete's? Pete's would do like a rival thing.
Mm.
What type of... should we turn this into
Pete's
the segment?
Beats.
Right. What sort of Dre drink would there be? And don't make it racist. That would be bad.
I don't know.
Not that you're the most racist person in the world or anything.
Yeah.
I'd have to say chai latte. It's safe. doesn't pigeonhole anything.
Mm. Yeah, something. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. That would be quite the expression, though. What would that even...
Yeah. Anyway, we have traveled far afield here.
So do you think they want to... try and compete with them?
Or? It's actually something that I'd kind of speculated on a lot earlier, was that this was probably going to be something that they're going to venture into pretty soon, just because they already have a really solid cloud player, and they're already trying to sync up all of their cloud stuff with anything that you buy through their stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for everything, but when you do buy a CD and it's just automatically dropped on your phone so that you can listen to it, that's pretty slick
in my book. Yeah.
And then you still get the physical media to back it up. So if you're a sucker for all that stuff still.
For backing it up.
Which, right. apparently a lot of people are with the popularity of the PS4. So to have that physical disc in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also those that prefer the higher fidelity of the CD audio. So, but yeah.
I don't like fidelity, personally. I think it's overrated. I like lo-fi. But
well, then
that's just me.
Then you'd be interested in Neil Young's new album.
I was, except that I don't care about Neil Young.
But they're cover songs.
And it almost got me on that, except no people I was interested in whatsoever. But still, cool idea. I love the idea.
But getting back to the topic, I think it is interesting the how many people have like attempted to jump in with a new idea and then just have it sort of disintegrate in front of them or just never catch on. Like Twitter had a music service also that
I didn't even know that.
Huh. Yeah. It linked up with both with Spotify and RDO, and you could like kind of like cross discover between them all and like
okay.
Go that way. But it, But like, you guys didn't even know it existed. That shows how popular it was.
Right. Yeah, the big thing to me is, and it goes back to things that we've talked about before, about if a company's not cool, it's a lot of the things that it tries to do are going to fail just by virtue of it not being cool. And this is something, this is territory that Microsoft has tread over and over and over again. And nobody wants it from Microsoft, no matter what. And they tried to make it cool by bundling it with a nifty little player called the Zune, and they called it the Zune service. And that almost like drove the final nail in the coffin. But then they renamed it again, and still nobody really wanted it.
Well, apparently, not this, but it sounds like a lot of people are really liking the Surface Pro 3.
Surface Pro 3 has gotten a lot of good buzz.
Maybe that will help. But yeah, it does seem like going off the thing with either, you have to be cool, or somebody cool, quote unquote, has to sort of just buy you up or take your thing and make you part of them. Mm-hmm. And then it, you know.
Right. And I still think that's a lot of why Beats has ended up so incredibly popular, because
Dre's name,
right? I mean, well, up until now, I don't know if he's still attached at this point or not.
As far as I know, like, the name is going to still
is it going to be iBeats now, or is it just...
No, I think they're going to keep the Beats by Dre branding.
Okay.
I have to go look up the details of that. I'm sure will come out soon.
Yeah, that would be interesting, because it's like Apple and that, like, they're big on branding, like,
right.
So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and initially a lot of people were thinking that that was going to be the big reason why they were doing it, but it was actually revealed today, best I understand. One of the high ups at Apple had a conversation that was published that they outright said that they wanted the technology for being able to rival Spotify and be a contender in that zone, because they thought that was the future. Which is weird, because apparently Microsoft has been treading its feet on the well-trod territory of the future for a long time, and nobody wanted the future from them.
Well, they were the first ones to make a tablet PC.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
10 years before it became popular.
Yeah, it's like there seemed to be only like a select few things for them seem to find the right time.
Right.
Like everything else, it's like they're too late on, or they're too early on. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff with the Xbox One, like, it, people, unfortunately, they're just not quite ready for it yet. It's almost going to be there for the things. And so I think they're going to slowly introduce all that stuff that they kind of talked about at the beginning.
Yeah.
As the years go on to that. And it seems like, you know, that's kind of what they do with other things. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it seems sort of the thing with like Facebook snatching up Oculus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of them like, okay, let's invest and create our own, they like saw what they were doing with the Rift, like, yeah, let's just buy that, let's just make it a part.
Right.
Like Instagram,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just buy it, like, let's just take it and make it
right
on ours, you know.
Yeah. And the Oculus Rift is kind of an interesting kind of poster boy of the it's cool, so it's popular type of thing also, because it's by no means the best platform in the world for all of this stuff. It's just, it ended up with a certain amount of geek cred by being a successful Kickstarter campaign and so on, and just kind of growing in this like grassroots territory where people have faith in it somehow.
Well, I mean, a lot of people seem to like it too.
Well,
so
yeah.
It's not just like...
But as far as the actual tech behind it, it apparently isn't like groundbreaking in any respect. It's just, it's actually something that people are gathered around, so it ends up in that space.
Seems to be the closest to like a VR and an actual like
usable
lawnmower man. Woo!
Right.
You know, like reality, actual, like, hey, this actually works pretty well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it actually works so well that it, when it doesn't work well enough, it actually causes people to get sick. That's the reason why it's like so good. It's like for people that it works really well for, it's like the most, it's like apparently mind blowing, but for those that it's like just that titch off, they're like,
yeah.
There's a pretty good series of videos actually too that in a weird sort of workaround sort of way show how well it works. Is that I guess they actually deployed some of these things in some malls in Russia, and so there's videos of people like just poking or pushing their friends while they're using this thing, and apparently you're so immersed in it that any sort of nudge or prod ends up instantly making you lose your balance. And so there's an entire series of videos out there of people just like falling directly on their butts from their friends, like just shove. And meanwhile, they're laughing their butts off.
But yeah, to go back to the Amazon thing too, it also seems, it seems like Amazon, where instead of, not so much like buying other people's things. Mm-hmm. They're almost like you're already just kind of banking on Amazon. Like, hey, yeah, you're already watching movies from us. You're already ordering a bunch of stuff from us. Like, mm-hmm, you're already buying music from us.
Yeah.
Here's our music thing. Like, yeah, you know, maybe they don't right away want to be like competing completely with Apple and Beats and that sort of thing, but mm-hmm, just having that as part of their ecosystem, mm-hmm, still like just makes them more appealing to continue to.
Yeah, well, it's like, it's the, if they have 90% of what you want, you'll hang out there no matter what, even though if the, yeah, that last 10% of the thing or the that came out this week, yeah, I can't buy it, I can't stream it right now, but it's, they have everything else I want, so I'm going to continue the service and maybe buy this album that I can then add to the streaming service.
Yeah. Yeah. I even heard kind of a while back that YouTube was even interested in doing like a music streaming service. And then there was also talks of them buying Twitch streaming.
That rumor I think is actually pretty well founded, that there apparently is talks for Twitch and YouTube to team up.
Yeah. I guess Microsoft was originally made an offer to buy Twitch, but mm-hmm, but yeah, so it is interesting seeing that people are starting to realize that people like music, like having music streaming on their devices.
Mm-hmm. I mean, effectively, YouTube already is a music streaming service. I mean, it's not always totally legal, but it is effectively one of the broadest, deepest music streaming services that's out there.
Yeah. So yeah, them actually getting a service where they could, mm-hmm, maybe pay some people or get some money.
Yeah.
You know, might mm-hmm be an interesting thing, but yeah, I think it'll just kind of come down to like what you're using. I mean, like the mm-hmm iTunes worked so well 'cause it's like, oh, I had an iPod, or
right,
you know, I had my iPhone now, you know, mm-hmm, and so.
And that's kind of how they captured so much of the market, is they said, we have a device, we have software, let's put the two together in a way that doesn't.
Use it together, it's, you know, easy.
To make it work.
Yeah, okay. And now everyone's phone, now that like Android is actually doing well,
right,
as an OS, like there's more streaming competitions, everyone's like now using their phones as mm-hmm music listening devices. So it's going to be interesting to see
where it all goes.
What survives, like how.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The phone side of things is what really makes me interested in the Amazon Prime, because I'd really love to have an open library of stuff that I can put together my own lists for on the fly on a cell phone. And actually the iTunes thing ends up being kind of an interesting thing to bring up about Amazon also, with them mm-hmm bringing out the Fire TV.
Yeah.
It's one of those devices where I technically have no need for it because I have all the stuff that I need anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that it would do really nicely is if I wanted a seamless Amazon experience, quote unquote,
yeah,
I'd be able to do that. I'd actually be able to buy my books on there. I'd actually be able to rent a movie on there and watch it on there immediately instead of having to do some sort of weird workaround where yeah. I rent the movie on my computer and then load it up on my Xbox. Mm-hmm. That always feels really awkward. And I understand the companies wanting to kind of step away from each other to protect themselves. Right. But it's still an extra bit of awkwardness that I'd rather not have that would maybe push me towards a little device like that.
Yeah.
And with the price point that it's at, it's a nice little add-on if you're a Prime subscriber, it means you're probably pretty invested in Amazon to begin with.
Yeah.
And that little thing plus all the other little things that they keep adding to the Prime service, it's one of the best deals in media right now, it seems like.
It seems like if you can make something convenient, people are more willing to put down money on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, that's why like stuff has been pirated so much, because there's never been an easy option for things.
Yeah.
But when they start making it simple and easy, people are willing to throw down some money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
easy, convenient and affordable. It's like, you know, iTunes, when everyone freaked out about Napster, they just like tried to shut it down. And then iTunes came in and essentially stole all their lunches.
Right.
Yeah.
Figured out an easy way to monetize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where they made off like bandits and the record company was kind of going, well, let's not do that again.
Right. And that's actually part of it, too. What was released today with one of the high-ups from Apple. I should know their name, but I never pay attention to Apple people, Apple to be dude. Honest. Yeah. Apple dude number three.
Eddie Q?
I couldn't tell you.
Apple dude number three.
Right. But they did outright say that it was partly because of iTunes, the downloads from iTunes actually in not that long ago basically evening out, and this quarter for the first time in a very, very long time, it actually dropping off a little bit.
Mm.
So they need a new way to pump musical crack into people's ears.
Yeah, people are streaming music now. That's what people are doing. So
buying music by the album is kind of becoming something that you do when you really want the whole album, as opposed to
that,
just...
Even that is almost non-existent anymore. It's always been like just buying song.
The singles, yeah.
So, but now, and then now that's starting to die off, and it's just like, now just give me a streaming service that I don't have to have a hard drive for. It can be in the cloud, and I can just type in what I want to hear and...
An all-you-can-eat single, like, song making playlists. They want all of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you can nail that, you will have quite the cake to eat.
Yeah, and there's a lot of players involved in it. All right, that's going to do it for tonight's show.
Oh, wow.
It was a good topic.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what you think. Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, if you want to find us on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/RobotsAttackShow. That is our page. You can leave comments on our stories. You can like our page. That would be awesome.
Yes, please do.
And if you want to...
I'm not going to beg.
keep up with us on Twitter. We are RobotsAttackMe, all one word. And RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com is our email address. And the one place to rule them all, the one place to find all things Robots Attack is RobotsAttack.me.
That's right. And if you do go through iTunes to get our show, please consider rating us, maybe even writing a review. It'll help us pop up so you can find it easier, and that would be awesome.
Very much so.
All right. That's going to do it. On behalf of myself, Caleb, and Jason, we want to wish you a wonderful weekend.
Indeed.
Have some fun. The weather of where we are has been pretty nice, so if it's nice where you are, perhaps think about stepping outside even for a few minutes and looking not directly at the sun, but at things around that area.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back next week, 7 to 9. Take it easy, everybody. See you later here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Raccoon, Verada, Mikto.